Money can actually buy happiness. Today, I'm going to tell you exactly how. Jesus had a lot to say about serving the poor. He actually gave us a cheat sheet for the final exam when we all stand before God. Matthew 25, read it. If you get the cheat sheet for a final exam, you probably should study ahead of time. And here's the thing, guys. He doesn't mention a lot of things that we think the final judgment will be about. In Matthew 25, he doesn't talk about the amount of prayers we did or didn't pray. He didn't list a lot of things that we think Christians should not do. For instance, you didn't cuss. You didn't sleep around before you were married. Enter the kingdom of my father, right? No, it's funny. We think about getting into heaven by virtue of things that we didn't do, like a don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. You back up and, hey, I'm in heaven. No. And not to say that those things are unimportant. They're actually really important. The moral life of the church is really important, okay? But, and this is a big but, Matthew 25 is 100% about serving people in need. And to sum up that scripture, as my friend Archbishop Chaput always did, if you do not serve the poor, you will go to hell. Ouch. That sounds kind of harsh, but that's kind of what Jesus said. Of course, he said that in this larger context that God is our Savior. He can save anyone, anytime, and it's not about us being good that gets us into heaven. But we need to heed this warning and let it hit us between the eyes because Jesus was not unclear about it. We can lose our relationship with him and heaven and salvation if we live a life failing miserably at charity. And if your heart is totally closed to the person in need in front of you, then your heart isn't open enough to receive heaven. And if you get there, it'll just bounce off you like rain hitting in a freshly waxed car. See, getting to heaven is not just about you deserving it, but being able to have the capacity to receive it. And no gospel drives that reality home as horrifyingly as the story that Jesus told in Luke 16 about a poor man named Lazarus. Now, Jesus said to the Pharisees, there was a rich man who dressed in purple garments and fine linen and dined sumptuously each day. Guys, note this. He wasn't even necessarily a bad dude. He just liked to party and dine sumptuously each day. Now, to sum up the story, Lazarus, this poor man, laid outside that rich man's house. Right outside his door, he was hungry, he was covered in sores. And the rich guy didn't seem to notice him at all. He'd just step over him on his way in from work and go have his sumptuous, beautiful meal. Now, the story continues. When he died, Lazarus was in heaven, quote, in the bosom of Abraham. And the rich man, you can guess, went to hell. And from Luke 16, and from the netherworld where he was in torment, he raised his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he cried out, Father Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm suffering torment in these flames. Abraham replied, my child, remember that you received what was good during your lifetime, while Lazarus likewise received what was bad. And then he told him there's a chasm between us and you, so even if I wanted to help you, I couldn't. Aquinas reflected on this story and the way Jesus tells it, and he said he doesn't think that Jesus was just sharing a story and an illustration. He thinks Jesus was describing an actual scene. Ouch. So how do we avoid that fate? Well, let's rewind. A few verses before this story and in the gospel from last Sunday, Jesus used a confusing line. He said, make friends for yourselves with dishonest wealth so that when it fails, that dishonest worldly wealth, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings. And the church fathers always interpreted that confusing line like this. While you can, Ebenezer Scrooge, give your money to the poor, make friends with them now by helping them out, because those are the people who are going to be able to either turn you away or welcome you in to the pearly gates when you stand for your final judgment. You guys, to put it in selfish terms, as advice, give your money away now while you can. It is the best financial investment you could possibly make in your eternal future, but also, this is going to surprise you, in your happiness now. Guys, most people are convinced, wrongly so, that having more money will make them more happy. So they dream of more money and what they can do with it. But here's the thing, guys, you're wrong if you think that. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a Bible guy. Extensive research has been done about this, and I wrote about this in my book, Living Joy, link below in the show notes, plug, plug. And it's been proven that if you think more money will make you more happy, you couldn't be more wrong, hard stop. The facts show that money actually does increase your happiness until you get to this baseline level where your basic needs are being met. So if you're below that level and you're having a hard time paying the bills and eating, yeah, it makes life kind of difficult, and that can make you feel a little miserable on the inside. But that baseline level, which isn't even all that high, every dollar you make over that increases your happiness by 0%. That means if you make, let's say, about 70 grand a year and your basic level needs are met, if you add a dollar to that, you don't get any happier. Well, Chris, what about $10? You don't get any happier. What about $100,000? Will you get happier then? No. How about $100 zillion? No. Studies have been done of super lotto winners, multiple studies that have found that they got more comfortable and they had some more fun as a result of their winnings. They got some more toys. But zero of them reported being actually happier because of their added money. Zero. None. Nada. What? Yeah, here's the thing, guys. Your heart that thinks more stuff will make it more happy and fill that void on the inside is tricking you. Your heart always wants more stuff. It said, follow your heart. I would encourage you, do not follow your heart. Follow the Lord. Jim Carrey said, I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so they can see it's not the answer. That's beautiful. Guys, ironically, some people actually get more miserable as life gets more complicated because of all their money. Guys, we all kind of see this too. You've seen this play out countless times. Look, if more money actually made you happier, then consistently, when you walk into that office building, people will get happier and happier as you go from the person working the front desk up to the management, up to the penthouse CEO. He'd be the happiest of all. But usually the opposite is true. It's that person who's working the front desk, hey, welcome into the building, who kind of seems the happiest. And according to one sad study, 50% of employees left their job because their boss was so miserable to be around. Their boss, the most successful, wealthy guy in the building. And yet, I'm going to let you in on another secret. Another study uncovered how money can buy your happiness if you spend it right. There was one study done on 632 people over a course of time. They found that people who spent their money on other people literally got happier. They self-reported that they had felt happier after they helped somebody out with their money. People who spent their money on themselves. And I'm not condemning that wholesale, guys. If you're a provider for a family, you should provide them some decent things within reason, right? But as people spent more and more money on themselves, they reported a zero increase in happiness. There was another study that tracked 16 people who got a bonus between $3,000 and $5,000. Now, the amount of the bonus had zero impact on how much happier they felt. Then they checked in with them after about a month or so went by, and they wanted to see how did that money and how you spend it impact your happiness. The people who spent it on themselves, they got a jet ski or something like that. I mean, again, God bless you, you want a jet ski, fine, whatever. But they didn't get any happier. How wild is that? The people who donated their money to people in need self-reported that they actually felt happier. And finally, there was a study done at UBC. Researchers gave envelopes of money to students on a campus to see if that same principle applied to smaller amounts of money. So the envelopes had between like $5 and $20. We're not talking like massive checks here. The people who spent their $5 to $20 bills on themselves self-reported at the end of the day, you guessed it, that they weren't any happier. The people who gave it away to somebody who needed a little bit of help literally reported that even that small amount of money, this kind of blows my mind. These aren't massive gifts. They're not seeing someone's life change as a result. But even that act of turning outside themselves and opening their heart to the needs of the person in front of them and saying, here's a $5 bill, literally increased their joy. We'll post links to these studies below. So cool, man. So it turns out, guys, that money can actually buy your happiness, according to research. And it also turns out, once again, that the research and latest science agrees with Jesus. The question is, does your heart agree with Jesus? The honest answer is, sometimes. Because so often our hearts long for more stuff. I could tell you this all day. You just got to try it to see that it's true. Scripture asks the question, why? Why do you labor for that which does not satisfy? Guys, your heart is so beautiful and it's so powerful. But without the Lord guiding it, it can be so dumb. Don't just follow your heart. Follow the facts, follow Jesus, and let your dreams be shaped by what he promises you will give you everlasting happiness. Now, back to making friends for yourself with, quote, dishonest wealth. We all grapple with this, myself included, reshaping how we dream about how to spend money as the Lord wants us to spend money. I recently had some money in the bank, and, you know, just to share my own story, I was dreaming of doing some really cool stuff in my yard with that money. Some big projects I've been excited about for a long time. Now, if you follow my work, you know that one of the things that we do at Real Life Catholic is support a mission in Haiti called Haiti 180. We actually provide a full-time doctor to work down there so we could put our money where our mouths are as evangelists. We're going to tell the world God loves you. He cares about every person. Well, let's show them in a very practical way, right? Not just for the people in Haiti, but to show other people, hey, this is what it means. This is one practical translation of that love in action. But my friend who runs the mission down there told me that gangs in Haiti are pressing closer and closer to their town, to the orphanage, to the hospital, to the school, and they need money to build a wall to keep everybody safe. Guys, it's so bad there right now. Like stories you hear in your history books about medieval Europe, that there's a town maybe having a peaceful day one day and literally the next day raped, pillaged, burned to the ground. Literally, that's what these people are living through. So they're trying to build a wall to keep these kids safe. Guys, and after praying on it, I decided that money that I was going to use for a cool yard project, I wanted to give that instead to build a wall to protect these kids. And I'll get to my yard thing someday, and I'm not condemning your dreams if you have yard dreams. That's totally fine. But guys, let's prioritize that type of dream under what the Lord calls us to dream about doing with our money. Now, lest you think, oh, Chris, what a saint, bragging about himself. I got to clarify, my motives in making that gift were purely selfish. Because I know that everything I'm talking to you guys about is true. And you see, when I was praying over cutting that check, should I give all the yard money to this project? How much should I give? And by the way, it wasn't like an incredible, crazy amount of money. It was, however, for me, a lot of money. But as I was praying over, should I cut this whole check to them or maybe just a little portion of it and keep more for myself? I had a vision in prayer. Not like a miraculous vision with my eyes open, but the Lord planting this image powerfully in my heart that someday I'm going to be at my final judgment. I'm going to walk up to the walls that surround heaven, and a bunch of Haitians are going to be on top of that wall, and they're going to reach down to pull me up. Sorry, chills talking about this, to pull me up over into the kingdom. And I thought, man, I want to make friends with those people right now. So that when I stand before Almighty God, they can welcome me into eternal dwellings. Because I made friends with them with my worldly money here and now. I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I need a wall around me and you protected me. Let me help you over that wall into paradise, Chris. And we'll ask, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or see you needing protection and put a wall around you? And he'll say, whatever you did for the least of these, you did for me. Guys, God is willing to forget anything bad you have ever done. He will forget your worst sin. He will overlook the dumbest thing you ever said, the stupid thing you did that time when you were drunk, that deepest, darkest secret that you don't want anyone to know, that you're so ashamed of. If you repent, he will forget all of it. Can I tell you one thing that he will never, ever forget? Scripture's really clear about this. He will never forget a single thing that you did for the poor. Every single one of those things is recorded in his book of life. Because when you did it for them, you did it for God. Make friends with yourself, with your worldly wealth now, so you can be welcomed by those people into eternal dwellings, and so you can be happier here and now. God bless you.